What up, what up, what up? This episode is with Conrad Carr. Conrad's going to be doing a lot of these with me now that we're in the same area. Love talking to him and feel like we vibe off each other really well. And also Samantha is going to be hopping in as much as she would like, as much as her schedule permits. And anytime that she feels like she's going to hop in or wants to hop in, she is more than welcome to. On this episode, which is probably what's going to end up happening with a lot of them, is we kind of just cover a lot of stuff and just go wherever the conversation takes us. But if you don't know about Conrad before, he was on with me talking about when he walked from New York to Florida, and now he has done another walk, and we talk about that other walk. We also talk about him living in Russia as a Mormon when he was back as an actual practicing Mormon, when he went and did a mission trip at 18 for 2 years in Siberia. And then came back and got really heavily into crypto. We actually talked about crypto for a while. And then we talk about just some random questions about like the way that we view life and the way that we kind of practice different things. And what else do we talk about? I think that's great. You guys are going to love it. I hope you guys enjoy it. Like I said, we're going to be talking with Conrad and with guests quite a bit now. This is the first time that we've actually had a full video for the whole thing. So that will hopefully be up on YouTube by the time that you're listening to this, by the time that this is out. And moving forward, every single one of them that I'm recording, I'm going to try and do all of them with video too. So you can watch them if you hate doing just the podcast and you need to see video. Love you all, and if you have any questions, hit us up. This is the show. Let's get it.
Curious. One time.
Condor in the house.
Yeah. Here. Condor in the house.
Hanging, talking. Welcome.
Thanks, bro.
All right, let me just introduce Condor. This is Conrad. He's been on the podcast before. We've talked before. He's the infamous man who did the walk from New York to Florida. And now we're here in the Venice house, recording with cameras and all that stuff, seeing how it works. But why don't you just introduce yourself, your background a little bit, just so the people that didn't listen to the other podcast know who you are.
All right. I'm Conrad from Malibu. Just checking myself out on the screen. I never seen this. It's pretty cool.
It's nice, right?
Yeah, live feed. This is, you know, first time.
Yeah, we're live right now.
I've had, you know, sporadic life. I was surfer, rode for Quicksilver. They got me back. The guy was like, today.
What time? When were you? When did you actually start?
Like 11. I started 13 to 19. I rode for Quicksilver, made some money, did good, traveled around, did some contests.
How does that work for surfing?
How does it do like photo trips and all that and make some money. Like people love you. You're in the magazines, or you got to just win contests. And so I didn't do that many contests. I did all right, but I went on a lot of like photo trips, had a lot of fun.
How did the people get invited to like the, is there even X Games for surfing, or like, is there any kind of actual professional, or is it just like a professional tour?
There's the pro tour, but it's only the 45 best surfers. So it's pretty brutal. It's rough.
Yeah. Oh, in the whole world.
And then every year only 10 make it on, and then 10 are cut. So it's just ruthless. It's insane.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Yeah, but I was.
And that's all ages?
Uh-huh, yeah.
What's the youngest?
I think Griffin or someone made it when they were like 18.
Okay.
Griffin Colapinto from San Clemente. Sick kid. Yeah, Griff.
Yo, Griff. Shouts out to Griff. Shout out.
Sickest kid. I was cheering him on since he was like 15. I was like, you're going to make the CT. You're the man. Yeah.
That's unreal.
Unreal.
And so he's still on it?
Yeah, he's still on it.
Griff. Yo, Sam, you want to hit that light right
But
there?
I might hit the wave pool in a couple weeks. I'm so pumped.
Tell me about the wave pool.
So Kelly made his, which is the sickest thing ever. We're having some technical difficulties.
Condor, one sec. Technical difficulty. Dude, just the fucking, let me see. Give me it.
Griffin, we need you rolling this shit.
I'm not even better.
All right, pause for a sec here.
I'm not good at the technical stuff. That's okay.
Guys, I'm nervous today.
Why? Why are you nervous?
Do you need some more tequila?
Connor.
Oh, he does.
Yo, this isn't live. This isn't.
Griffin's making me nervous. Or it's the headphones.
Yo, if you're, you don't have to be nervous, man. If Griff, if you're not feeling it, we don't have to fucking put any of it out. We could literally. You're pouring drinks.
Yeah.
Is it Griff? Do we need Griff out of here? We got Griff off camera.
Griff's here chilling.
I think you're a little nervous with me right now.
It's because you're 7'8".
I'm sitting down in a beanbag
chair. We got Griff, and no one can see him, but he's sitting down in a beanbag over here, and he can barely fit in this room.
Dude, I think if I spread out wide, I could touch both corners.
Honestly, he could.
What was your wingspan? Like 10. Jesus, man.
But how tall are you, actually?
I'm 6'6", but like, okay. That's why it was crazy. When I used to grow up, they thought I was going to be a climber.
Yeah, like, you're just big old wingspan, Griff.
Yeah, because they wanted you to become like a rock climber. Because I was just, I was really good at it as a kid. And then I had the most, because that's the biggest part of being your reach. Is like, if you are tall, skinny, and you have a good like natural strength, then you can be very good at it. So I used to do it as a kid. They're like, you're going to be the best out there. And it was like my gym, or it was like that weird like rock climbing.
Dude, that my gym was so sick.
I don't remember my gym? That.
Griff, if you're going to talk, you want to hold it for a sec?
I've never seen this mic gym either.
Jeez, do we need four mics in here? I feel like four might be too many people if you're doing like a full one with four.
Yeah, but it might be too much.
Griffins are great. A lot of good people named Griffin. It's a good name. They probably live up to the name.
Do you guys not remember my gym?
I don't remember my gym, no.
My gym was I
remember YMCA.
No, my gym was literally like it was like a gymnastics kind of place where you went in and it was all like, almost like a, what is it, parkour course.
Totally.
Yeah, so you just go and like mess around.
The 11 year old version of a parkour course.
Yeah, it was sick. My gym was dope. My mom would drop us off there for like 4 hours.
Yeah, I remember that.
My gym was cool.
Cool slides.
Okay, what did we slide off of there? We were talking about the dude that you love from San Clemente.
Griffin.
Sick surfer. The wave pool. The wave pool coming up.
Okay, what's the wave pool
looks like?
We're going back to your bio in a minute. But what's the wave pool?
So Kelly Slater like made the craziest wave of all time, and it's like this perfect long barrel, and now there's a left on it too, which is nuts. But then these Texas guys, they made one too, and they're like, "Yo, check ours out."
What size is
this
that?
This is probably sicker.
What's the best? Maybe
not
of
better.
All time.
It's not better, but it looks a lot of fun. So the Waco one, it has like a full barrel, and then you can do a big air after, which is pretty nuts.
Is there like a certain size that for surfing that is like optimum size, like 6 feet, 5 feet, 12 feet? Like what is?
I mean, a lot of fun would be like 5-6 feet, how they have it. But a lot of guys would be like, oh, I want a huge one, like 12 foot. But this one, it's sick. Both of them, Kelly's and this Texas one. And I'm pumped because my Quicksilver dude I grew up with, he was hitting me up. You want to go with the boys, like the best, they're best surfers. So it's like a dream come true. I was like, are you kidding me? This is unreal. So I texted one of them today. I was like, I think I'm coming to Texas with you guys. He's like, oh, are you riding for Quicksilver again? I was like, I don't know. I think I'm more just walking for Quick, repping Quick. You know?
Is that something you would want to do again?
I'd want to do it. I like.
How hard is it when you get out of it to get back into it?
It's pretty hard. I don't think I could ever compete with any of those guys.
Is there any of them that are actually is there any surfers that actually train, like work out and train for the sport, or is it just surfing?
Yeah, a lot of them do now.
Really?
Yeah, they're going to the gym, doing all these crazy things for their stomach, legs.
Really?
Yeah, they're going big.
That's pretty interesting.
Surfing is getting nuts. With Brazil, Brazil's crazy. They're the best now. They're better than us, better than Australia.
Really? Is there like a world championship kind of thing for surfing?
Yeah, so John's won the last 2 years, but he's injured, and so now it's looking like this Felipe Toledo might win it, because he just won his heat in Chopu, and Julian Wilson lost, so.
How does that how does the pro tour work? Like, is there just five or six different tournaments?
There's 10 events, and then it's best of, like, your 8 best results compared to the other 45, you know?
Okay.
And so right now, Felipe's leading it. It's a Brazilian kid who's insane, does the biggest airs on like 1 foot waves. He's crazy.
I was gonna ask, what do they grade?
They say it's most critical maneuver in the most critical part of the wave. So if it's like fun little waves, whoever's doing the biggest airs or the biggest turns, and then if it's big waves, whoever's getting the big barrel or sick drops or big turns. So it's all about just ripping the mean part of the wave.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I don't know anything about surfing.
I know. I just love your interest.
Once you try it, you're like, dude, this is so much harder than
sick when you got out there the other day. It was fun.
I love it, man. Yeah, I love it so much. We've done it, what? I've done it 3 times.
Yeah, you've done it a couple times.
I haven't really got up on a wave. I don't know if my body's built for it, man. My legs are too big.
You're a beast.
Yeah, but I'm like too heavy for the board. I fucking sink.
Yeah. But you don't quit. I've seen you out there.
I don't quit, though. No, I don't quit, though.
Yeah, you went hard. Yeah. You went out that day, no?
I went out that day, too.
Yeah, but we were at Griffin's house doing like seven feet waves trying to learn on it for the first time.
I was like pulling in the barrels out the back. And you're like, you're going. I've never seen anything like that.
The ocean can be mean. It's pretty vicious out there.
Yeah. Well, learning to surf in those waves, that's unreal.
Yeah.
Like, mean close out barrels, that's crazy.
What's the coolest places you've been surfing?
South Africa was nuts.
Where in South Africa?
I was in Durban. I want to go to Cape Town because everyone's like, Cape Town's the spot. But I was just in Durban surfing all these waves. Then we drove across South Africa to Jay Bay, which is the big long right. Crazy place.
What's the difference between right and left?
Like right
how, or what is it? Right. I mean, obviously, I know it turns.
Yeah, so the wave peels, and so like if you have an A,
you got talking to your mic. Here,
then if you're going this way, then it's a right, and if you're going this way over here, it's a left.
And is there a typical wave for most waves, or is it just different everywhere?
In California, it's mostly rights.
Okay.
I didn't think there was any lefts till I was a year into surfing, because my sixth grade science teacher said there's no lefts in California. I was so bummed out. I was like, this is a tragedy. And then the first time I went left, it was the best day of my life.
So if you're going as like a regular surfer, like with your feet regular or goofy, does that mean that you can't turn one way or the other? Or is it just like really hard to do it? So if you're going with your like left foot forward and you're going down a wave, it's easier obviously to turn left, right? Rather than it is to turn right.
Mm-hmm.
This is a stupid question.
No.
It might be a fucking stupid question, but no. It's something that I'm thinking.
It's a great
question. I'm out there and I'm like surfing and I'm like, yo, how does someone come down if they're a regular? How does someone get on the wave and go to the right?
And they can't even see it. Yeah, it's tough. It's not as fun. It's fun. It's a lot of fun, but everyone loves going front side more.
That's
you know,
having
the wave in front of you like, whoa, it's the best. But going backside, it's great.
But it's harder.
It's a little harder. Yeah.
Okay, so go back to where you were. So you were doing surfing. You stopped doing that. You went to Russia.
We talked about Siberia.
You went to Siberia, did the Mormon trip.
2-year Mormon mission.
Did we talk about that when we were doing... I think we talked about that a little bit.
I think we talked about it a bit.
Podcast.
Yeah.
So you did the Mormon trip, and then you came back, and you did the walk.
Did the first walk. Yeah, a few years later.
That took some years
off
your life.
New York to Florida, yeah. That was intense. That was a year ago, pretty much right now.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Feels like forever ago, though, yeah. Last September, we all went to New York, me, Rick, everybody.
That was when it started with September?
Yeah. So almost a year ago. And then the California walk, that was awful.
Do you have like that? I have a little bit of the itch.
But it's like the California one kind of got that out of me because California one, I was like, oh, I'm just going to do this walk.
So you went and did the other, you went and tried to do another walk in California. Yeah. And that was San Francisco to San Diego.
It was a bad walk.
What was the reason for that?
No one liked it. No one understood the cause.
What was the cause for that one?
Make it through Big Sur. It was awful. It was for the pigs.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought it was cool because my brother saves these pigs and he loves his pigs. He'll like sleep with his pigs. Yeah. He's got these pigs in his house.
Did anybody donate on this one?
Rescues them. I don't think anyone donated. I don't know. I'd have to ask him because he had some Facebook page.
Wow.
But once I got, it was like from the start, I didn't quite have as much fire because the New York to Florida, I was like, this is so such a new, crazy, nuts mission, like craziest thing in my life.
Yeah, insane.
Yeah, 1,000-mile walk. This is mental. But I thought like I was going to get it done in like 2 or 3 weeks. I was like,
seriously?
Much adrenaline. Yeah, but then once
the heat, was that part of the bet was how long you had to do it for?
No, it was nothing like that. So that was good.
Just you got to do it.
So I ran the first day, and then I realized the next day my legs were dead.
You ran, that's great.
Yeah, I did like 30
miles the first day?
I was like, I'm going to run this thing in like 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
At any point was Rick, like if you would have been there for like another month, would Rick have been like, yo, we're done with this? Like
He would have been cool with it,
really?
I think. Yeah.
What if it took you like
a couple
5 months?
He was like, bro, stop doing this thing. Like I'll give you 20 grand to just stop.
Really?
Because my dad's girlfriend was hitting him up like, This is blood on your hands, Rick Solomon. You're going down for this one. You're a horrible man.
For what though?
Because he bet me to do it. And so she was like, yo, you can't, like, you know, put this on this kid to do this walk.
Yeah. I think it was sick, though.
I thought it was sick.
Yeah, I think it was really cool.
It challenged me, for sure.
Oh, dude, that's like a serious, that's like a spiritual walk, man.
Yeah.
That's like an intense
it was,
thing. 60 days?
It was that and Siberia, definitely what I look back on my life, and I'm like, those are the two big
things. The walk did you not decide before, like, that you were going to stay at hotels or stay or eat?
Well, Rick was like, no hotels, no, like...
So he was like, yo, you have to live on the street. You have to eat at 7-Eleven.
You gotta be like a nomad, like Indian style. Go for it.
Wow.
Jeez, man.
Yeah, but then California was terrible too, because Big Sur, there was nothing. No restaurants, no gas stations. You'd think New York to Florida, there'd be some stretches. There wasn't a stretch over like 30, 35 miles, New York to Florida, without anything.
Really?
Yeah, it was mellow. You could go and always have a stop. California, Big Sur, there's like 150 miles of nothing.
Oh, no way. So,
and at that point, I was like, oh, I'm done. I hit my head. My head was all messed up.
Hit your head on what?
It's like huge cliffs.
What did you hit your head on?
I was like walking under this underpass thing and like the tree, bang, boom. And then I was over it.
I was going to ask that.
I'm out of here. I'm hitchhiking. This old dude picked me up.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so Big Sur, I didn't walk from San Fran to San Diego. I walked, the whole way I walked was Santa Barbara to San Clemente.
Okay.
And I wanted to do that at least. You
That's
know,
still
get
pretty
a good
far,
little
though.
Mission.
That's
in.
Through LA.
It's like 200 miles. But New York to Florida, I walked the entire thing. I didn't get one ride, nothing.
Yeah, you even actually walked more because you were going. You were walking down the road and cops would pick you up and pull you back.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I walked more than... It was 1,100 miles total, but it was probably something like 1,200.
Insane. And what was the thing that you were talking about going and doing in a different country?
Another walk?
Yeah.
I mean, I want to do another one day, but I want it to be more organized where people get the cause. Maybe people come with...
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder if you could do one where people actually join and do it
with
you.
Cool.
Yeah, that'd be
but
insane.
I don't know how many other people you would get that would be like, yo, I want to sleep on the street too. Like,
well, maybe we'll do it where we just sleep in people's houses because it's like a little movement, or we just bust out the hotels would be good. Probably a good move. So I had a little PTSD after the walk.
Do you? I was going to say, do you have
My
any lasting...
My girlfriend thought I was insane.
Do you have
no
any lasting
way.
Like God injuries issues. Or anything like that?
I don't have
Not
PTSD.
Injuries,
I
like...
actually talked to a guy about it. He's like, no, you're good because you don't have flashbacks. I don't have flashbacks, but... I have
I don't
a cough.
Know PTSD like that means just because you don't have flashbacks it means you don't have any PTSD.
That's what the guy told me.
I mean, I think you could still, I think you could still have like triggers when you're
I've had a cough since the walk, so it's been like
yeah, that was what you were saying.
Like 7-8
That's
months.
Such a funny thing to come back with. I got a cough. I've had a cough for
it was
7
like,
months, a year now.
Yeah, it was like my body the whole walk was like, this is it, you're doing this thing, like this is the challenge of a lifetime. My body made it happen. Walk was over, my body shut off. Like, you're a dick. You're going to pay for it now.
Yeah, I believe
and
that.
The cough, it's not the worst thing. You know, I'm all about, like, looking like a pirate now, and it helps with that thing. You know?
Yeah,
like,
well, you
coughing,
definitely do. Look
hacking.
At it, man. You look like an absolute pirate. I think, like, while you're doing the walk, though, you're definitely, like, you're so amped up during it, and you're so motivated during it that your body just, like, you don't even give it a chance.
Yeah,
like,
you don't
yo,
notice
I'm pushing through
anything.
This shit. I'm not going to stop here. I'm going to keep going for the animals, that kind of stuff. But now when you're done... Your body's like, yo, you're paying for this now. It's time to reap the benefits of the walk on your body.
Yeah, you're screwed.
And so you did Siberia too, which
was
harder.
I don't know. If I was doing them again today, Siberia would be harder, just because it's such like a long mental game that you have to be fully like spiritually, mentally. Emotionally fully there, and it takes a while to get there because you know you're doing a Mormon mission, you're serving this thing.
Yeah,
and that one's intense. That one.
Do you ever talk to any
6:30 every day?
You ever talk to any people that are still doing that? Like any kids that are still the like younger Mormons that are going?
Oh, that are going.
That are about to go.
Yeah, I'll talk to them sometimes.
Really?
So, yeah, go for it. Go get them.
Go to this.
You're gonna have the time of your life.
Go to this. What was it? Apteka. Go to this pharmacy and preach.
Yeah,
I was holding it down.
Uh huh.
Yeah, man. Okay, so
Brandon's ex, I think, is going. Piper. Yeah. I was
oh, she's
to
Mormon.
Piper. I saw Piper. Yeah, I went to church. I don't know.
But I thought you do when you're 18.
Yeah, but you could go as a girl or a guy till you're like, I think 23 or something.
How old were the kids that you were living with when you were there?
All pretty much 19, just like me. The mission.
Yeah, so the mission's intense. Pretty crazy too.
Yeah, such a
crazy one thing that we didn't talk about last time we talked, we were like, we almost got into it, but we were already at like an hour and a half, was when you got back from all of that shit, you got, somehow you got into crypto and you were like really heavy in it when we were talking about it. And I wanted you to explain in the dumbest possible sense what you could, how you got into it or what it was. And if you don't feel comfortable talking about any of that stuff,
I'll talk some crypto. It's been a minute, so it'd be good. It's funny.
Has it been a minute? You're not in it anymore?
No, I'm in crypto, but it's funny. It's like when I grew up as a surfer, I felt like I had all these friends. I was the man when there was waves, when there was swell.
Yeah.
Everyone loved me. Like, oh, Conrad, what are you doing? Let's go surf. Then when there was no waves, no one would hit me up. I was like, ah, I have no friends. So it's kind of like crypto, because crypto 6 months ago, December, January, it was like the thing. Everyone and their mom wanted crypto. Everyone, like plumbers, taxi drivers, everyone was buying crypto.
Right.
And so people knew I was doing crypto for a while. So everyone was asking me what to buy, what to do. And so it's crazy. Now no one asks because it just tanked. We're dead now. But let's do a little thing on crypto. I think that's a little
bit example of who your real friends are, maybe.
Yeah.
What people...
Griffin hit me up about crypto, but he also hit me up because he's my boy.
Griffin's here, so he's good.
Yeah. So anyway, crypto, I got into it because Johnny Steindorf, sick kid from Malibu, who I think he's the most successful person from Malibu, because a lot of successful people moved to Malibu, but he grew up Malibu poor, just driven kid, and he got into Ethereum when it was like 30 cents.
Was this the dude that's mom... did the internet kind of thing?
His best friend's mom helped invent the internet. And that was a big kicker for me.
Explain that sentence. Helped invent the internet. Explain
what you mean by that. She was there with the whole, I don't even know, the TCPIP thing. They did that. And then she sent off the first email with her buddies. And they were the ones. But the interesting thing about the internet is the people who founded the internet, they didn't make any money off of that. You know? The people who built stuff on it, they made money. And that was the huge thing with the .com revolution or whatever. There was all these things like pets.com, and then there's the Amazons, and the Amazon and Apple today is nuts, and then pets.com, and those died. And so hopefully that's similar to crypto today, in that there's a few of these, but this time it's the protocol layer, it's the actual like fat layer of the internet, because that's what blockchain is. It's another version of the internet, like a better version, where you can have it decentralized, and it's all these cool networks that are going to work together, and we'll see.
How does blockchain get like implemented into the world today? Is it going to be like an app, or is it going to be like something that...
So first it needs to scale, meaning they can't do it for more than like a few people. They've had a few apps built, like CryptoKitties, and then it just exploded the network. So first they need to scale. And that's been a big, long-awaited problem that they haven't solved. And then there needs to be adoption. So if those two things happen, then I'll be rich again. Because I took 10 grand and I turned it into 1.3 million. And then I lost that million. So now I'm down to like 200-300K. I've had some sleepless nights. I thought I was the man. I'm like, oh, just another 10X and I'm at 10 mil.
That's insane.
How long did you worry up that much?
Real though. Like, only
did
for
it
like
plateau for a bit, or
2 months,
just up
like
and down?
December, January.
Yeah, we all were kind of like, I
was like
$600 and turned into like $25,000.
Jeez, man.
Yeah, it was a mental time.
I never got into it at all.
Yeah,
it was just like, lucky. It was an emotional roller coaster.
Oh, I believe that. Absolutely,
it was brutal.
So
I was
wait, rewind though.
In Puerto
before
Rico.
We go too far ahead, rewind. So you were talking about how you got into Ethereum with Johnny. So you were doing this with Johnny.
Yeah, and Johnny tells the story that he was on the phone telling someone about Ethereum. And I was like, fuck you, John, you're the smartest dude ever. You're not doing this without me. And I was on my computer behind him buying it up. He's like, what are you doing? You don't even know what this is. I was like, well, if you're into it, I'm into it. Because Johnny, you know, he's the smartest kid ever. And so I bought it a bunch of Ethereum at 10 bucks.
And what is Ethereum?
Ethereum is the main one that's competing to be this protocol layer of a decentralized network. Similar to the internet. And a good example of what would be built on this is like a decentralized Uber. Some people hate this example, but it's, I think, the easiest way to explain it, where instead of having, you know, me as your driver and you're my client, you know, with, you taking a commission as Uber. We just have me as your driver, you my client, and then we have a network where we can verify and, you know, make each other's reputations good based on all our rides we've done without Uber taking 10, 20, 30% commission.
But what is
that's what a network would do. There is no company.
So how would you sign up and like have a profile and have the maps and call
just on this open ledger, just on this open network, almost like a blog. Open blog and open ledger.
So who would create the blog though?
That's Ethereum. Vitalik Buterin created Ethereum, and he doesn't own Ethereum. He owns Ethereum tokens, which is how the network can pay for itself. So you'd use these tokens, and apps built on that with their own tokens, and it's this bizarre, you know, dystopia, whatever you call it. All those crazy.
It's hard to understand because you can't.
Nerds and Burning Man kids are, you know, coming up with this stuff, and if it works, it's going to change the world, but. They got a long way to go with this whole scaling problem and adoption and all that.
And so you were with Johnny. You got into Ethereum. Mm-hmm. You did you know even what Ethereum was, or was he just?
Like, I didn't get it. I didn't get it at all. No. And then I'd heard of Bitcoin. I bought some Bitcoin, which everyone thinks now that Bitcoin might be the only one that survives.
I thought there was problems with Bitcoin right now. That there's like it's tanking and it's gonna be gone or.
Yeah, well, everything tanked. Bitcoin actually tanked a lot less than everything else. And that just shows sentiment to the market. Do people believe this is going to change the world? Because nothing's really changed. From when everything was up to now, fundamentally, nothing's changed. We're still trying to solve scaling. Still waiting for mass adoption. There needs to be like custodial, you know, stuff so that all these big funds and the ETFs can launch their Bitcoin things and different crypto funds. But they don't have that yet. And so it's all like battles with the SEC. So really, honestly, I would say Bitcoin is the greatest investment we'll ever see in our lifetime. I think Bitcoin, really? I think Bitcoin one day in the next 10 years will be like 50 to 100,000 a coin.
And what is it right now?
6,000.
And so it's just going to end up being the same thing as money? Same thing as cash?
It'll probably be the universal trusted money because it's more secure. It's, you know, the greatest. Can't stop Bitcoin.
Okay, and so you
unstoppable.
So you paid all. You started buying Ethereum.
Yeah, and some Bitcoin. I got Bitcoin 900, Ethereum.
This is 10. Way back in the day.
No, this was like end of 2016, I think it was.
That was when you started doing it.
Yeah.
Okay, and what was Johnny doing at this point?
I was working for Johnny doing real estate. I was knocking doors. I knocked like every door in Malibu, Malibu. Yeah.
Weren't you saying that you literally walked door to literally along PCH?
I was like, oh, it's like being a missionary. I love this.
Yeah.
Yeah, being on PCH.
You want to sell your house?
I got a buyer who really is interested in this area. Probably your neighbors probably want to sell. You don't want to sell this house. It's a great house. You don't want to sell this thing. This is amazing. But if you did, I got a buyer. And if sometimes they'd laugh. They usually just say, get out of here. And every once in a while, I'd talk with people. Who I talked to, the Allstate guy, he was cool. You know, the Allstate.
Did you ever get
Allstate
anyone that was stand. Like, yo, let's. Yeah, I know. Did you ever get anyone cool. that was like, hey, maybe I will sell it?
I had maybe one or two. We had the best one was Martin Luther King's son. Pretty wow. sure it was. Son or, yeah, I think it was his son. Not even grandson, son.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Was it Malibu?
Yeah, I don't think we got the sale, but we talked to him. Johnny got to go in the house. I didn't get to go in the house. So nice. I didn't know it was him because he just talked to me on the recorder thing through the gate.
Yep.
We talked a while and I was like, yeah, he seems like a great guy. And then yeah. Johnny went in there. Johnny's like, yeah, there's all this Martin Luther King stuff all over the house. So then we Googled Dexter King and it was his son. We're like, whoa.
Damn.
Dexter's the man.
What does he do?
Nice guy.
Yeah, what does he do?
What does Dexter do? We should probably Google that.
Should we look that up?
He's probably out changing the world.
Yeah, like his dad.
He's probably doing
seriously,
work.
Seriously, that's in the blood.
For all us Malibu people with so many issues.
Okay, we've gone off this like 20 times. Go back to, okay, so you're knocking houses, you bought Ethereum. Run us through from Ethereum to a million and a half back to
brutal.
To 300.
Such a roller coaster. So all of 2017... I'm just watching this thing go up, 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 up. And it's crazy. Like psychologically, when all the masses keep thinking it's going up, you always try and tell yourself, what's Warren Buffett say? Buy when there's blood in the streets, sell when people are greedy. It seems simple, but no one sold, really. Barely anyone sold. The founder of Litecoin sold all of his Litecoin at like $300, and we didn't even take that as a sign to start selling some of these companies, or not companies, but projects where the founders were even getting out. And looking back, it's like, we're so stupid, but hindsight's a bitch.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, wait, so tell me, explain, like, you're sitting there with, and you were getting paid in Ethereum, right?
Oh yeah, I got paid in Ethereum too, which was great, because at the time Ethereum was like $50, and so then he was paying me like $500 a week, and then by the end of that year Ethereum was like $500, 2017, and so I was getting paid 10x, you know.
And would you just take everything that you're getting paid and just double it and double it down, or all of the money that you were making, would you just invest it more into crypto?
I just left it in crypto, and I'd buy into more ICOs, and I still have crypto money in strange places. Somewhere I got to email some of these people to be like, yo, I invested in your ICO. Where's my, you know, Theta coins or whatever you call them? It's crazy weird.
How many different things did you put your hand on in over the year?
Jeez, if this is on record, the SEC, IRS might come after me, but probably like, I don't know, like 100 plus different cryptos.
Wow.
Maybe 200. I had so many because.
So you're on your phone all day, like looking at the, like, market and stuff like
that? Yeah, and I just look for the smartest people in the space, smartest people outside the space looking in, best projects. I got pretty good at seeing, you know, what's going to at least go up, but also I thought, you know, which ones might change the world, because you get it in your head, like, I'm going to be the one. I'm going to have a bunch of the Amazon of this age. I'm going to have a ton of it. And so you had to pick a few and hope you get a couple winners. And right. Today it's looking like Bitcoin might be the only winner, but that's in this down market. So we should be buying. There's blood in the streets.
I'm a little scared about it. I don't know if I trust it. I'm a little bit confused by it. I don't really know enough about it.
Yeah.
Didn't you get to the point where you were like so invested in it that like you started working in it, like actually like working for a company or working for?
Yeah, and then I went to Puerto Rico to move there.
You moved to Puerto Rico. Crypto Rico, you called it, right?
I had a job out in Crypto Rico.
What was the job?
Just a consultant.
And why was it Puerto Rico that everybody was moving to that was in crypto?
I mean, the real reason I think is because the tax benefit. They have this Act 20, Act 22, where basically you don't pay any taxes. Which is crazy. And you still keep your U.S. citizenship. But a lot of them are doing really cool stuff too, like helping all the locals with all the damages from the hurricane. So we'd go out and about and help with that. But I think first and foremost, it was, you know, save your money. But it was also cool to help out and do some stuff.
And then when did it kind of turn? When did it, like you were in Puerto Rico. And when I talked to you when you were in Puerto Rico, you were like, yo, I'm living here for a while. I might buy a place here.
Yeah.
And so when did it switch from there?
Because I had no friends and I missed home. I was a little out of place there, I think. You know, I'm a surfer guy.
Can't surf there?
You know, I got a finance degree. I just didn't have any friends, really.
Yeah.
I had friends, but they, I don't know, they're kind of more like nerdy. And how I saw it is like they're like these nerds who, you know, now they got some money and now they just swung the pendulum way over here and they're like Burning Man 24/7 doing acid till 6 in the morning. I was like, wow, these guys go. Yeah. These like Venice hippies with long hair. I was like, wow, you guys go big. I just wanted to surf all day and, you know, do some crypto.
Is that how a lot of the people in the crypto world are? It's like the kids of the Burning Man kind of group?
It's Burning Man, yeah.
Really?
They love the Burning Man, yeah. That's those crypto guys. Pretty really smart kids, and that now they're like, oh, I'm gonna go party, you know.
It's probably gonna be the same kind of kids. They're like the VR AR kind of kids.
Yeah, they're on another level.
Okay, so you were there, and then you decided like, yo, I'm out.
Yeah.
Did you ever like have a point where with like the money and stuff that you were like, yo, I'm done with crypto, or were you always like, fuck it, I'm gonna stay in this for as long as I'm alive, or I'm not gonna pull out at all?
A lot of them, I'm like, I'll watch this thing go to zero. Just
I'll burn with
ego
it.
Or whatever. Yeah, I'm gonna burn with it. But others, I've taken some profits, but I kept it in Tether. Tether is pegged to the dollar, so you basically have your dollars, but it's in crypto land on these weird exchanges.
And then you can use Tether to buy other ones.
I can use Tether to buy other ones, or if I want to cash out, I can put that tether.
Did you never decide to cash out with any of it during the whole thing? Like, yo, I want to pull a little bit out for...
Not really, besides the whole tether thing. Yeah.
Dude, that's stupid. So crazy.
You'd think 1.3, just take 300K out.
I know.
Nope.
Was anybody around you telling you, like, hey, you know, just take some of it out? Or was
our movie recording has been stopped automatically?
Okay. You want to click it? No, not on that one.
Are we flowing right now?
Yeah, we're flowing. I mean,
is this like good shit?
Yo, no, yo, yo, just on the camera, on the back of it, click the record. Sam, you want to do it?
Yeah, I do.
Is this it?
Yeah, right there.
Press
start. Yeah, just click it.
Start?
Yeah. And it should come back on. There, we're good. Thanks.
Technical.
Wait, we're back again. I don't know how long. Yeah, you can pull up a chair if you want to, bro.
Yeah, pretty comfy.
Is this one still recording too? Yeah, we're good. All right, so before we switch into some of these questions, which is the funnest thing.
We'll get so deep.
We needed to hear that crypto stuff.
Yeah, so just tell me, crazy, man.
Give me the final, where are you at right now? Are you diving into it more? Are you out of it completely? Or are you still going to be a crypto condor?
I'm crypto condor. So my boss right now, this guy Bob, he's the sickest sports bettor, basketball bettor of all time.
Yep.
I'll meet people, he's like, oh, that guy's a genius, really cool guy. One of the smartest dudes I've ever met. And it's great to be around him with this down market because he's like...
Is he into this stuff?
He says this is the greatest investment you'll ever have in your lifetime. Bitcoin.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he says Bitcoin is the jam.
How do you get these jobs working for these people, man?
It's like you started out a surf lesson.
To him, to the dude, Johnny,
Yeah, I look for these smart, successful, good dudes, I guess. Or maybe I don't. I don't know. Bob, I was giving him surf lessons. And then he was like, you wanna work for me? One of the first days we were hanging out was the France-Belgium game. I was like, I think Belgium's got this one. So he bet like 30K on Belgium. And then they lost. And I was like, oh. It was a little awkward. And then the next day, we were both like, yeah, Croatia's going to take England. And this guy, you know, he's a gambler. He's a beast. So England was up 1-0, and he made a bet. And with 1-0, England, the odds were really good for Croatia to lose. So it was like 6-1, 7-1. So then he made like a ton of money on that one. Killed it. And then he's like, yeah, bro, you want to work for me?
Then he felt better about you.
Yeah, he's like, this kid's all right.
Yeah, okay, give the story because she hasn't heard it yet, and I don't think anybody listened to it.
Oh, the money story?
The money story that you were telling me about with him.
So this was like a week in, and, you know, things were going great. Me and Bob are like, you know, I really like Bob. Bob loves me. We're grooving. And then he's got a house in Malibu in Venice. So he's going to his Venice house. There's a counter with like, I don't know, a big wad of cash. Turned out it was 20 grand cash. And I think he saw that I saw it. But I didn't touch it. So I'm helping him pack his stuff. He gets to Venice. An hour later, he's like, yo, where's the money? I was like, oh, it's got to be in your backpack or somewhere. Another hour goes by, and he's like yelling at me. I know you took the money.
No.
Like, you terrible thief, blah, yelling. I don't know what he was saying. And he's like calling Rick and these people like, is that Conrad a thief? Like, what do you do this? And it just got real bad. And I'm yelling like, put me on a fucking lie detector. Like, I didn't do it. I'm freaking out. Another hour goes by. I'm like crying. I think my life's over because my reputation and everything's just done. And no one, you know, Conrad's a thief. And then I'm outside the house. He comes out. And now he's like crying. He's like, oh, come here, bro. I'm so sorry. We hug it out. We're both, oh, you know. And the money somehow fell into like some weird shirt. And then he found it. He's like, take all the money. Take all the money. I was like, no, just call everyone. I'm innocent. Tell them I'm innocent. But I ended up getting half the money. So
that's
good.
Brutal.
Yeah, so he offered
gave you half the money?
Yeah, I think I got like 6 or 7K. Yeah.
You told me he was calling all of the other people that you knew in Malibu saying, Conrad's a thief. Like, Conrad's, like, you need to get this
I think
kid
he was like
you.
Kind of asking him, but he's like, what's this kid's deal? Yeah, like,
damn.
So it was awful. Like, that feeling though. When everyone's like,
it turned out unreal.
Turned out a great day. It was emotional.
And it probably made you guys a little bit closer too.
Yeah.
Because he's like, hey, this kid's got me.
Yeah.
Like,
I got his back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Now I should set up a few heists, like fake robberies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw, who was it? Scott Disick, like the next day at this party, and he was like, You're the fake robbery kid, huh?
Oh, my god. So,
yeah, he's like, that turned out pretty good. That was
There's
a good
so
move.
Many legends about you that are out there. You're the kid that went to Russia. You're the kid that did all the crypto. Yeah. You're like, you're just, you're the kid with the walk.
The Mormon.
You're the Mormon, dude. You're literally a walking, like, you're like a mythical creature.
I try to live life like Siddhartha or Forrest Gump, where you get your feet and everything, you dabble around.
I haven't
around.
Read Siddhartha, but I've heard that that's another
Oh,
book.
Siddhartha's
Actually,
great.
I think you were the one that told me you should
Siddhartha,
read that.
It's like The Alchemist, but Alchemist is more like the journey.
What about The Alchemist out there?
Just going forward. Oh, The Alchemist is great. But Siddhartha's more like he tries, like, you know, a life of solitude. He tries a life of vanity. He tries a life of this, that. And I forget how it ends, but he ends finding, like, the one.
He ends loving his life.
Yeah, he's good.
Is it? That's not an autobiography or anything, is it?
I don't want to spoil it for anyone.
You're not spoiling it.
It's a great book. Jeez.
You're telling that's your phone. Okay, let's. We should dive into some of these because these are great. And you just let me just throw one out. I'll pick one and we'll go through it. And then you pick one. Just so people that are listening, it's just a fucking 1,000 questions.
Random. Am I looking here or here?
Either one. They're just a bunch of questions.
Oh, okay.
Let me just throw this one out and you can both answer it. We can all answer it.
Yeah, let's What's get one, Sammy what, on there first.
Yeah, Sam. Well,
I get nervous when I'm the first
Welcome.
One talking.
Put you on the spot right now, Samantha. Yeah. You're going to answer this one.
Okay.
What's a skill that you would like to master? Condor? Did that just turn down the headphones? You guys okay?
Sam,
no,
you're
I'm
up.
Good. The skill I'd like to master, I guess it's an all around a lot, but I would want to master yoga.
Ooh.
For sure.
That's a good one.
I think that's something I'm on right now, and I want to master it so bad.
Yeah, I love yoga.
I do
you ever
too.
Do yoga?
Dabbled with it a little bit.
I feel like you're someone that would love yoga.
I got to get into it.
You look like a yoga teacher right now.
I've definitely done a lot of yoga classes, but I've never gone like a full like few months where I'm on the grind.
Yeah, you can't do
day.
Yoga with just like a once
yeah,
a week kind of thing.
Yeah,
it
has to be
really
like dedication.
You got to
yeah.
be like, yo, I'm going to do it. 3 times a week for 3 weeks.
Yeah,
and
my first time I went,
like,
I was like, it was all right.
The first like couple months I was doing it with like hockey players, I would go in and leave and like make jokes about like, dude, do you remember that fucking posture we had to do? Like,
yeah.
I can't believe we had to do that. But I swear, if you do it for a couple weeks, you're like, this is so sick.
You guys been on the grind?
We haven't
done yoga. Dude, I'm still paying for yoga like $100 a month. I haven't gone in 2 months. But I love it.
Funny,
like if
yeah.
we're, when we're doing it, I love it.
Yeah. I want to try acro yoga.
Yeah, that's
really
pretty cool
bad.
Too.
Yeah.
Have you seen that shit?
I've seen that, yeah.
It's yeah, Akogyo is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty
What's
cool.
What's the skill you would want to master?
Skill I'd want to master? I don't know. I think just some of my issues for sure. Like today, a stupid one, but I couldn't find my passport, so I missed out on going to Mexico.
Yeah.
So I kept like thinking, and I've been all fired up on it. Like after I found my passport, I organized all my stuff and I'm like, oh, I'm the organized guy now, you know, I'm a master. Like I'm going to be so, you know, on it with all my stuff, like phone, wallet, keys, passport. And I just organized.
How's your room look? Like where you live?
Now my
it?
Room's clean.
Yeah.
It was
Are
really
you a messy
dirty.
Person?
I'm a little messy.
Yeah.
And I want to master like, you know, letting things go even physically with all the junk in my room. I'm like, you know, life's so good when I just let things go. I saw my boss, Bob. He's like, keeps his house, nothing in it really.
Ooh.
Oh,
Are
really?
You kind of a hoarder?
A little bit of a hoarder.
I am too.
My mom's a hoarder.
I'm a hoarder for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I read that book.
I got a lot of stuff at my house too.
Art of Tidying Up. Art of Tidying Up. It's a great book.
Yeah.
It's like this big Japanese book they love. Japan, real good at this, I'm sure. I mean, the book changes people's lives.
I've heard that so many times.
There's a testimonial. I got rid of my husband because he was terrible after
Stop.
Reading this book. Yeah, it was,
seriously.
It was, yeah, it's serious.
And it talks about tidying up your
yeah,
whole life.
Yeah, getting
or
rid
just
of.
Like...
Yeah, but it ties things in with like get rid of bad habits and people and things in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard it's so good.
Jordan Peterson talks about that a lot. Tidy your room, and then everything kind of starts to fall in place. But that's the first thing: clean your fucking room.
Make
I
your bed.
I
want
to have the
make
skill to be.
Is that what it is?
Yeah,
on
it's
Jordan
the first
Peterson's
thing.
Level.
Make your bed.
Make your bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You make your bed every morning?
Some mornings. I'm okay about that one. Today, I like went above and beyond since I'm in that mood, and so I tore off all the sheets.
Above and beyond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should
I'm,
write
like,
something like that down. Like
tidy.
Write down like a list of stuff that you did today, and then like every once a week, rip it and see how good you feel. You're good.
Yeah.
Feel
yeah,
like
I should.
Like...
But that's just my mood today. I'm usually that's like last on my totem pole. I'm all about like. I'm going to find meaning in the mountains and, you know, like search for the stars and that kind of stuff. You know?
That's what you're in right now?
That's what I'm usually in my, that's who I am. I'm like, you know, I'm a dreamer. I'm a, you know, I like inspiring, visionary type things. I don't like the nasty little tidy up. I hate that.
Do you think that's because you were like raised that way, or do you think you like just have always been like that? Like, is your parents like that? I mean, I met your dad, which was unreal. We met him.
Dude, your dad was wearing a mesh jersey with two or three chains, walking some dogs. It said his name on the back.
He's the biggest mad dog of all time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely is.
We got to get him on the show.
I would love to talk to him.
Oh, jeez.
But, like, honestly, like, I feel like, you know, do you think that your parents were like that? So you kind of, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I think I got a lot of my dad in me, which is, you know, he's loves his adventures and going off, and he's had a, you know, really crazy life. So it's, I think there's a lot because of that.
How is your mom? I haven't met your mom too much. Is your mom kind of like
my mom's solid as a rock? She's a bit of a free spirit. When she raised us, she was just like, you know, solid as a rock, you know, real solid, normal mom. And now she goes out and she parties a bit and has fun. And
nice.
She was, I think, a little bit of a hippie back in the day.
Oh, I could totally see both of your parents.
Spandy. Spandy.
Your dad
hippie.
Not a hippie back in the day?
He was probably full on just
Woodstock.
Savage. The Gare.
Conrad, have you ever been to the Nazi hike?
The Nazi hike?
It's this old bomb shelter that a guy created back in the 30s that he was a Nazi.
You're good. I'm just going to hold it close to you.
Yeah, he was a Nazi and he created this whole place, like kind of near Topanga in Temescal, of a pretty much Nazi camp that was like meant for when the Germans came, everyone that like wanted to come a, or was a Nazi supporter in the US or in California would go, and obviously that didn't happen, so they it's all these abandoned buildings that all these crazy, do you take like a couple hundred steps down from the top of a mountain to this little like canyon, and it's all these taggers go, it's like a really spiritual place, it's cool.
I'm pretty sure I've been there. I'm pretty sure my dad does love that place. I think we used to go Camp Josefo. I think it's near there. It's over around in
it's
there.
In the
it's, yeah.
It's weird. It's like in the middle of the most place you would never think to look.
Yeah, the Nazis just going for it.
What?
Yeah, it's pretty it's bizarre.
It's a Nazi thing?
Never heard of
Nazis
this.
Were in California ever. What do you mean? So confused.
Such dicks?
Yeah. Jeez. Seriously. The skill that I would like to master is definitely surfing right now.
Yeah,
now
you're
that I,
all
dude,
about
I got
it.
The itch. I got the itch.
You should have seen us the other night. We went out. It was like pitch black, and homie's still out there.
I'm out there with like JT's the helicopter, gone. Like with the spotlight.
I'm not stopping.
Make sure no one's on the beach.
Where'd you go?
Just right in front of here. Right in front of Santa Monica.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. I'll go anywhere, man, where there's waves.
Bro, hit me up.
Dude, I need the lingo. I need, like, the surf lingo. I need, like, 10 different sayings that I could say to people.
Bro, dial my number. I'll dial you in.
Could you actually teach me, like, for a week?
Surfing?
Or maybe once a week, like, for maybe a month or something like that, so I could actually know the... Because I can get out there and stuff like that, and I have no fear, but I just don't know
yeah,
exactly
how to... Yeah,
I'll
give you a couple little things, and it'll change your world.
It's harder than it looks.
It's tough.
Way harder. And you get on the little board. I had Zach's board once. I mean, I did it with a big board, and it was okay, but I had the Zach's board once, and it was like, dude.
So I think we already need to work on the lingo. I think it's long board, isn't it?
Yeah, long board. What did I say, big board? I had the big board.
I had the big board.
Yeah, give me some
the big log. Yeah. Big sucker. Big whale.
All right, okay. Let's keep going. Condor, this is probably one you would love. What's the weirdest situation you've been put in?
Weirdest situation?
Dude, this is probably something in Russia.
Probably Russia.
Or like Condor walking down the street.
Today's a funny one.
Dude, I mean, there's so many. Actually, I don't know even why I said Russia. The walk.
I've probably been in so many weird ones. Oh, man.
Dude, I feel like Spider-Man crawling on the floor here.
Yeah, you're good.
Today's was funny. My boss and I guess my girlfriend, they ended up going to Mexico together. And since I lost my passport, I stayed behind.
And you asked her,
so
like,
I think
yo,
that's
you want to go?
More of a weird situation. Well, yeah, let's go to Mexico with Bob. He's going. We can go. Bring your friend. And so we were all planning on going this morning, and then I couldn't find my passport.
Are you going?
I'm going to try and go tomorrow morning. I just got my ticket, so I'm hyped.
Did you get the ticket now?
Yeah,
so
I got
going.
The ticket.
And where in Mexico?
Puerto Vallarta.
Never been.
Oh, unreal.
You been?
No.
Wait, so where?
Oh, unreal.
It's weirdest situation. But
I've totally seen photos. It's beautiful. I mean, anywhere in Mexico's. Right?
You're going to tell me that there isn't like a crazy situation that happened in Russia with like people not liking what you're doing or like you getting in fights?
Oh, I had a good one. This one's funny. I'll tell you this one. I love these weird, awkward situations. So I was like a little more than halfway through my mission. So I'm training another elder, another missionary. So my companion is fresh into the field, as they say. And so Elder Theobald, we call him, great kid from Utah. Just, you know, probably never been out of Utah in his life, just by the book. You know, he didn't want to be there. It was pretty crazy. He was like, you know, he felt pressured to go on his mission, and he didn't want to go. And I was the opposite. I was like, I'm going on my mission because I want to go. I want to, like, find God and do all these amazing things, help some people, blah, blah, blah. But he was there just, you know, because it's part of the culture. Living in Utah where he was, it's like, you know, full on. You got to go.
Right.
So I'm training him. We had nothing in common. You know, it was pretty rough. He thought I was insane. I'd look in his diary and he'd be like, "You are insane." All this stuff. Yeah. And so
what does training entail? What do you have to do for training?
Training, it's just an extra hour, and I just kind of like take the lead and say, "Okay, now we go do this," cuz it's his first time out on the mission in Siberia and Russia. And so I do like follow the handbook for how to train a new elder, like, okay, and make them feel good, you know, stuff, just normal stuff, yep. You know, getting someone into something. So we go out on the street one day and he's like, we have no people to teach. There's no members. Like, this is not what I thought the mission was like. This is awful. Hated it. And so I'm like doing everything I can to get any sort of makeshift like meeting, like, yo, you want to learn about God? You want to read the Book of Mormon to people? And it'd usually be like nuts people or homeless people or whoever. So we see this car accident one day, and it's like -30. It's freezing. So we see this car accident. It was just like a, you know, good solid, you know, rear end right next to us. People get out. I'm like, oh, let's go see what's good. So I go up. And then there's this guy pops out of one car and this girl, and she seems like all out of sorts, like, yo, this just crash is how she's freaking out. I'm thinking, you know, she's just tripping a bit because of the crash. He is too. They sort it out while I'm kind of like, what's up? We're just these guys from America doing a mission here, God's servants, doing good things. And she's like, yeah, that's great. You know, I'm like, okay, she's into it. So we get in the car. So they're like, yeah, we're going to the mall. Do you guys want to come? I was like, Theobald, let's go.
Just got in the car.
So we jump in the back seat, right? And we're cruising, and I'm trying to make conversation, but I'm starting to realize like they're pretty out of it. And then the chick pulls out this needle and she shoots it into her lip. And I'm like,
into her lip?
Yeah, like into her lip. I'd never seen anything like it. Well, I'd never seen someone do heroin, but I'm pretty sure it was something like that.
Heroin?
I don't know, something. It was called like buterot or buter something in Russian. So I don't know. I never figured out what that meant. And so I'm like, oh, this is insane. While the guy's driving, he does it too.
Holy, so we're, you're in the back seat of the
I'm
car.
I'm in the back seat,
and they're shooting heroin into their lip. In
but
the
I'm
front
like,
seat
so I'm thinking, I'm, you know, I'm God's servant. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna change the world right here. I'm gonna change lives. So I pull out a Word of Wisdom pamphlet. Word of Wisdom is this section in the Doctrine and Covenants where it talks about no smoking, no drinking, no doing drugs.
Oh my God.
So I pull it out and I open it to the lady and I'm like, Nilsia, which means, you know, not allowed. She's laughing. I'm like, no, Nilsia, you can't. Like, you know, God forbids this, that. So I'm like, inside, I'm like, this is insane. Like, this is one of the craziest things I've ever seen. We almost get in a couple accidents, like swerving, sliding. We're trying to get out. We're like, no, come to the mall. And he's going so fast, and they're so, you know, lit or high, whatever. So we end up getting to the mall, and, like, we get out. Got their numbers anyway so we can, you know, help them get over their addictions through Christ and make it happen. But then the funny thing was Theobald was like, he was pretty shooken up, but he was like, at least they weren't smoking weed.
No.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was like,
Theobald, that was a little worse than weed, I'm pretty sure. He's like, no. Smoking marijuana, that's the real deal. I was like, all right.
That's yeah. the worst. Wow. Like that was what he thought. Is that what a lot of people
yeah? Because he no, I don't think. I think him just in his little sphere. Mormons, you know, they're pretty savvy usually.
Yeah.
But he was just this funny one where he just didn't. He didn't grasp the
I can't believe that situation. When you got into the car, then they're doing heroin in
witnessing
the car.
That is
yeah, and you're watching unreal. That, and then nothing happened. Like, no accident, no, like,
yeah.
they don't take you somewhere and rob you or take you somewhere, and you're like, oh.
Nice shit. Couple.
Great people.
And I love how they chose to put it in their mouth while you were in the
yeah,
car.
That's the most
like, they were a little lost. Yeah.
Just in the, putting it in the mouth in general.
Yeah, like, in general, what? Really bizarre.
Yeah.
Heroin? Into the lip.
I think it was like a yeah. It, was
it wasn't like the chew, the chewing tobacco that you like pack, and then you it's a syringe and it goes into your lip.
That's actually a thing.
Hmm. Yeah, in Europe they have like this chew that's like
oh, really?
It's not tobacco. It's like kind of like a clay,
oh.
and you have to. And it's not a syringe with a needle. It's like a syringe like that you would have like a baby.
So like maybe Theobald was right.
But,
he's
but,
a lot
okay,
savvier than
it's
I
a
thought.
Very different syringe. It's that's like
it is
medicine.
A different this, yeah, this is
saying?
Like a medicine syringe that
you know,
like
your
you
mom
know how
gives
if you have like liquid and you kind of like pull it out.
That
yeah.
was actually like a needle, right?
It's kind of like that.
Yeah, it looked
yeah.
scary. Whatever it was, it looked like a scary needle.
Like
I don't know, man. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
We're doing heroin in the car.
This is Mother Russia.
Yeah, I mean,
and the town is called Omsk, which was one of the heavy.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Did you go to Omsk?
I didn't go to Omsk, but I was.
Omsk was a beast.
I wasn't on the trip, but there's the Avangard team there.
Omsk stands for Odelnaya Miesto Silk Katernikov, which translates to, like. Secluded place for the captives. So it was a
what?
Gulag. Omsk is a former gulag.
Really?
And so it kind of has that feel to it. And the water would be brown sometimes. It was just the most
wow.
eerie, intense city.
Ugh.
Yeah, I loved Kemerovo and Novosibirsk. I lived in Omsk for like 3 months.
Cool.
I love Novosibirsk.
Yeah.
Great people. I mean, the most beautiful girls I'd ever seen by a mile. And really nice people. And then... Kemerovo was where I did most of my mission, and that was cool too, because when I first got there was no one showing up at church. By the time I left there was like 30 people, which was cool to see. You know, a lot of them crazy, you know, like a lot of them were mentally challenged or, you know, girls sort of my age. But that's
yeah, we
kind of how it came
before.
About.
A lot of the girls that were there would just wanted to sleep with you because you're there just the American dream coming over as a surfer.
You
like
could be right.
And you're like, no, you need to listen to the word. And they're just like,
oh,
Vlad, we love you.
Читай здесь. Надо покаяться. Need to repent.
I'm surprised
that's
you didn't.
My line.
I'm surprised you didn't come home with a Russian
need
girlfriend.
To repent.
Bro, I'd preach on this on the bus. I'd you know.
So when you're over there, did you have to like
be
report
yelling
back
me.
To somebody in the U.S. like, hey, I'm doing this. I got this many people coming to church.
Our
like,
mission
like-
president did. So, yeah, it's a very good system. So we do our tallies, how many people we contacted, how many came to church, how many we baptized,
wow.
which baptisms are rare. That's like, you know, once every few months, maybe.
Is there
and
like-
then that goes to President Gibbons, our mission president, great guy. And then that goes to the Area 70 and then back to Utah. So
is there
pretty,
like a competition when you go back? It's like this kid did this many, converted this many people. Yeah,
it's
or
not supposed to be, but it's like, you know, the average is, you know, like one baptism. So it's, you know, you want to like strive for that or beat that, you know,
yeah.
East Europe, East Russia. It's like one baptism is an average for the 2 years. So you don't really get many. But I mean, we had the craziest times and I still look back on my mission and think, you know, even though I'm not the best Mormon anymore. I think it was either God or the universe, something. When you're striving to do good things, you know, and you're putting that out to God, the universe, what have you, it happens. And for example, the craziest day of my mission, I'd say, me and Blake, we got to reunite. I lived with him 6 months, and then he got transferred. I got transferred. We got to do a strike mission in Kemerovo. This is when I was living in Novosibirsk. So we were both so excited to go to
what
our
was a strike mission.
So the Area 70 guy from Utah told President Gibbons, like, you guys got to step it up. Let's go. Or he told all of us. So President Gibbons says, you're all going to Kemerovo. By all means, if you can get a baptism by Friday, that's amazing. And it was
oh,
Wednesday.
No, wait, this is literally like a military mission.
Oh, it was the greatest time of my life. So we get there like Wednesday night. We're so fired up like tomorrow and we're praying, we're fasting. We're like, you know, trying our best to be as, you know, good, holy, you know, people so we can just be God's conduit to save someone and baptize them by Friday. So we go out on the streets all day. We're like ninjas going through the sketchiest part of town. I was preaching. We got chased through this crazy cave thing out the other side by these guys who were probably some crazy druggy dudes who wanted to kill us, running so fast. I think a dog came after us. Another dude, I remember meeting a guy who was like, I'd do heroin or over my son's life. I'm a heroin addict. You know, we were in the hood of hoods.
Oh, damn.
We get back to the church. We go in. We're like, man, I think we did good, but I don't know if we found someone who's going to get baptized Friday. And then these two kids walk up, and they're like, what's up? Well, what's up? You guys want to read the Book of Mormon, maybe get baptized Friday if you think it's true? They're like, yeah. They got baptized Friday.
Really?
Two dudes, two kids, really? Like my age, yeah. So it was like so cool to have such a potent couple days of like this spiritual experience of or this missionary experience. It was pretty unreal.
That is pretty crazy when you're over there and you're like so in it. So how motivated you probably are during that. Like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, when you're, you think that that's like your dream, you know, that's like
yeah,
your goal.
This is it.
Life.
That was it. That was like the greatest moment ever. And then it's really interesting to think because while I'm having that experience, at the same time, throughout the mission, I met a lot of Muslims, for example, Buddhists too, different, you know, Orthodox,
and they're doing the same
Hindus.
Thing?
But yeah, so say like these Muslims I met, I was real adamant about my faith, but then these Muslims, they'd have some of the most interesting stories, similar to that one I just said, where for me, I'm like, wow, this person just had a crazy experience too that basically proves their theory, their faith is right, and God's on their side. And so I was like, that's where I kind of, after my mission, part of me started leaning towards like, maybe God really just helps everyone on their path if it's a good one.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
That's something that we talk about a little bit, is that like that's the spiritual path, whether it's religion or just spirituality or whatever. It's almost like all of the paths kind of lead to the same destination. It's just different paths for different people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what I mean. That's yeah. the way that I think about it, because it's like Christianity, Buddhism, like all that stuff. It's like different teachings and a different like route to get there, but it's all kind of leading to the same thing, same kind of experiences. Or very similar ones.
Yeah, the principles are all the same. You know, most fundamental, I'd say it's golden rule, different things, and it all, same principles.
Yeah, exactly.
Just different ways you
what was
get
it
there.
That Andy, the Andy Milonakis was saying when we were talking another day about, he had that one question. He asked you one question that was like pretty deep, and then we riffed on it for a sec.
It was good. It was just getting good there, huh?
Yeah.
What was that question?
I can't remember. It was something about, do you find like differences between that and like, you know, the reality of that and like how really all of it is a maybe and really all of it is just kind of based off of a perception and like.
Yeah, I remember the question. It was something along the lines of, it's really interesting when you're in that sphere, how you're so absolute about everything.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely,
you're so
yeah.
absolutely sure that. You know, you need to do this, 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 and this to get to heaven, or this, 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 and this. And it's really interesting because when you have that, yeah, we talked about how you feel so secure in that. You know, you have this safety, this home of, you know, I'm living this life, going to heaven for sure right after. And then when you leave that, you lose that safety, but you I guess, open up to different ways of thinking and understanding
totally,
that spiritual
yeah, that's
sense.
What the question was, yeah. And it is crazy though. You think
the Mormons might be right. The Muslims might. I'm not 100% sure. I'd lean towards the Mormons, but probably because that's what I grew up as. They could be right. South Park said they were right.
I don't think there's any absolute truth.
Yeah, I'd probably lean towards that. But if there were one, because a lot of them say, they say like, the others are kind of right, but we're like right. You know?
I don't know though.
They say that.
Some of the
most
rules
say that.
With Mormonism is pretty hectic, right? Like pretty intense, and like, isn't it like, you know, you can't do this, can't do that, or else you're not gonna go to heaven.
Mm-hmm. To a degree, sorta, because there's like kingdoms in heaven, and if you end up accepting it, you're all good and you go to the top. Because I think a lot of people get too stuck on the rules when it's more about the spirit of the thing.
With
and I think
them,
all religions.
With all of them. And I think you probably know really a ton about that too, because you were really involved with it. Like knowing exactly what we were just, the Andy question about, like when you're in that sphere, And it is so absolute, and you're so sure of it, and you're like, this is right, this is right, this is right. And you kind of like push it out to other people. You know, this is what you're supposed to do. And this is, and it's your truth, which isn't wrong for anybody. But at the same time, it's like, is that really true, or is it your truth? Is it an absolute truth, or is it just your perspective?
It's going to be interesting when kind of eerie, but when we die, and we kind of find out, I guess.
Yeah, but who's going to know, though?
That's one of the craziest things about life, you know? That's the wildest thing.
Which is exactly what it's like, you know, that's why you get to choose. You get to choose, and your truth is your truth, and you take it to the grave. And no one knows after.
No one knows.
Do you agree with that? Like the absolute
I definitely agree. I mean, I think that, you know, you do get really comfortable in what you, if you do fall into something. Like, I was super, super involved in my faith, and, you know, I could go really deep into that, but yes, I completely, completely agree. I was really involved in Christianity.
Yeah.
Which I still believe in God, and I still, you know, have all firm. Are we stopping?
No, just pause. Keep going, though.
Oh, I still deeply like believe in God and Jesus and all of it. But I was a part of something where I was preaching all the time, where I thought that, you know, this was the way.
That's cool.
It definitely was a huge part of my story, and I'm so grateful for it. But, you know, you get caught up in the rules and the bad and the good, and you know, you want to be good. And so I think that now I can be like, you know, you kind of don't let other people tell you what's good or bad,
yeah,
which is, you know, a huge.
It's funny because when I was like that, because I was similar like that, part of me sort of knew too that it was like almost comical. Like, yeah. I'd be preaching to someone on the street, I'd be like, "Your cigarette, you might burn in hell."
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no. You know,
but I wouldn't say that because people would be like, "Connor, you can't say that kind of stuff." But it was to an extent. That's kind of like what
you're
preaching some of the time.
It's a
you're
crazy,
not going to burn
yeah.
in hell. So
it's a crazy
that.
Thing, though, because if you look at someone and say, you know, your thought would be like, you're going to burn in hell because you're smoking a cigarette. But then it's like, no judgment. But then we're like judging. And
yeah,
then it's
yeah.
such a like a
that's
thing.
The problem that I have with organized religion to that extent is the judgment.
Yeah.
It's like, it's supposed to be a thing. Hey, come on into our house and you're welcome. We accept everybody. But you right there, you're doing things wrong.
Yeah.
You're living wrong. Come into our house and we'll love you and we'll teach you how to feel amazing and joy and bliss and all that, but you need to follow these rules. You have to do this and this and this, where, like, I don't agree with that. I agree with the essence of all the religions.
Yeah.
And with, like, I think that this, all the scriptures have, the ones that have been passed down over tons and tons and tons of years, have been misinterpreted now to where it is literal rather than, like esoteric or, like, kind of, like, philosophical, or maybe just, like, the spirit of it. But I don't believe that it's like a rule book that you have to follow as much as like a guideline where it's like, you know, you should be kind to people and you should do this. And I don't think it's like, you cannot sleep with that person until you're married or else you're not going to heaven. You cannot smoke,
yeah.
you know, like
yeah.
that kind of stuff is where I get like fucked with it. And I'm kind of like, I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's a good thing to say, you know, maybe try your best to be the best person you can be. So, you know, sleeping around or whatever, let's try, you know, let's not do that or whatever
right.
it is, or, you know, having those like, but having strict rules of saying you're going to hell if this doesn't, you know, if you don't follow the way, it's scary. It's definitely puts a lot of fear
mm-hmm.
on you.
Interesting topic,
right? Yeah. We could talk about that.
It's
for
a good one.
Time.
I start to think like about, you know, by the fruits you'll know them. And that's a good one because, you know, I look at my life, you know, when I was a Mormon, I was this way, and I think I was a lot better person about a lot of things. Like, I was, you know, so on it, so honest, so, like, you know, no ever doing these things. I was, you know, so good, and I'd, you know, I'd help people. But I think now I'm like, I'm not as good at a lot of those things. I'm pretty good about other things, like doing cool things and for people, inspiring people. Different things, maybe. I don't know. It's an interest. I always try and think like my better person then.
You view like the value of yourself different now because you're not following it.
For me,
extent?
I think psychologically because I grew up with these, you know, these
yeah, instilled
these
in you.
Rules. It's instilled in my
yeah.
brain. That's a hard one to break. Religion's a really, really serious thing on the head. So
yeah.
for me, like I do sometimes think like, oh, I do that bad, but maybe I do these things good, and you know, it's like hard. So, like, I think we're all our biggest self judges. We judge, absolutely, you know, so 100%.
I mean, I don't think, like, when you think about God, I don't think that there's a God up there that's like looking down at you. That's like, you're doing that wrong, and you're not allowed here anymore. You're doing this, you know.
Yeah.
That's not the way that I view it. I just choose not to, and maybe that's just me. But your phone going off there?
Yeah.
You're a popular guy.
I'm a hit.
You really are.
Yeah.
Griff, just for a sec, just want to say, if you're like really bored or something like that, or you're uncomfortable, you can go rip Fortnite, you can go in the jacuzzi, you can go do whatever you're feeling.
Just, yeah, Michael's seen the new jacuzzi. I'm fucking the other.
You can go do whatever you want, man.
Water anymore. It's such a dick.
What?
Where this?
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. Griff got all cut up. Burned.
Dude,
you got a burn?
Yeah, my friend burned me with a steamer. A steaming iron. Didn't think that it would burn, but in hindsight, I don't know how someone doesn't think that would burn someone.
Yeah.
There's boiling water coming out of a metal.
That's
plate.
Just a stupid play.
True.
This is a question. This is a question that would be right on that same topic. Is if you had the chance to be immortal, would you choose it?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. This is a think about what your answer though, because immortal does
not
mean.
I think about that a lot.
Immortal means you can never ever die. Like, you cannot, even if you want to.
I'm scared of dying.
Yeah, but still,
really?
At the same time.
Why?
I don't know. The idea of nothing scares me.
But there's no way there's nothing.
Yeah, okay, then okay, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, okay,
when you
then
think
I'm
about
into that. If like, afterwards, I'm like a happy, flowing thing.
Yeah.
In some, you know, esoteric being of all being type thing, I'm happy.
Yeah.
On the other end, if I'm, you know, a resurrected or reincarnated Conrad in his perfect form, I'm happy.
Yeah.
But nothing scares me.
Yeah, but there's an interesting topic about talk about that on that topic where people are scared of nothing. But to be scared of nothing, to go nowhere, like to just go and be in this dark black space, still means that you go somewhere. So it's still a place. So to be scared that you're gonna go to nowhere and that there is nothing after is still somewhere. So that means that you're believing in somewhere.
Are you thinking
you go,
like a black hole? Like you're
that
just gonna be
crazy.
Like,
well, just thinking, you know, heart's dead, I'm dead.
Well, that's what I used to think about too. Like, is I used to think of death as just here. Like, oh, you just you're. What happens when you die and you're just gone and you're just black and you can't get
but
out and you're
spirit
stuck.
Goes.
And you're, but that still is a place.
Yeah.
So that's not nothing. That is still just a place where everybody is just gone and is just there, which means that you're believing in a place that you go to that is just a black hole, but. I don't think that's, I mean.
JT, you're so untethered.
Right?
I'm trying to wrap my head around
it. Dude, I used to really think about that. Not like all the time, but when I was higher, when I was just like, you know, messing around and I would think like, what happens when you're dead? And then I would sit there and for a second be scared. I'd be like, fuck. I don't agree with that at all anymore though. After listening to that talk, I don't know. That talk was way more in depth. It was on the Joe Rogan podcast. It's like, dude, talking about like people have this fear of death and have like this, like you go somewhere where you're just stuck and you're just black and you can never get out. But he's like, to fear that, you're still fearing a place that you go. You're still, if that's, that nothingness is still a place. Oh. So it's like, then are you, is that what you're fearing? That's, is that you go to a place?
I like that. Yeah, that's good.
You know?
Yeah. My biggest fear is the coffin, like buried alive in a coffin. Can't handle
it.
I always
God.
Said, if I die, you put me on like a board, kayak or whatever, push it into the ocean, just let me be. Like, or just leave me. I don't want to be, I don't really even want to be burned that much. I'm like,
I don't believe, I don't agree. I don't know if I believe like super heavily in like in the reincarnation. I do believe in reincarnation. Like, I think that something, you come back as something else. There's this, your spirit comes back, not this JT, whatever, but
some sick wolf. You're gonna be a beast.
That'd be dope.
Yeah, you're gonna be a sick one.
I've never gotten to like past lives or anything either. Like, I know some people that are really deep into thinking, but I used to, I'm sure in a past life I was this, but I don't know. But I definitely do think that like the world is created, earth is created, people are created so that God can experience himself in human form. So I think that like the essence of everyone is God. The essence of your spirit is like a piece of God, the kind of like ray of the sun that is God. You're still connected to him, which is your spirit, which is your soul. So I think
that immortality, I'm good with. I'm good with all of them. Just
immortality, did you say you agree? Like, you would want
well,
to?
Well, as long as my spirit or something goes on, I'm happy.
Your spirit will go on.
Spirit goes on.
I'd like to
that
be a better me.
Mortality,
like,
dude, think about how scary immortality would be. You're here forever. You get it, no matter, even if you were to be this age right now, you can never, ever, ever be be gone. You can never choose to. So you're here forever. You see all the people around you constantly grow up, die next to you, grow up, next to you forever. Connor's and you're this age rough. Wearing that beanie and that tank top.
Terrible
forever.
Outfit.
Right?
Yeah, forget it.
You know, at the first when you hear that question, you're like, immortality, fuck yeah, I want to live forever. I'm going to be like on a yacht. I'm going to be, but like, how long can you do that for? How long can you like, you know?
It's, you can't do that forever.
Mortality is more. You know, have you not got that part in Untethered Soul yet? The death? That chapter?
I don't think so.
Oh, you read that chapter, it's going to change everything for you.
Really?
Oh, it's going to change everything. Because it just talks about how death is the greatest teacher of life, man. I'm going to read it
tonight. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
So
it's
he's unreal. Died and come back?
No, it's not dying and coming back. It's just like thinking about like, dude, everybody's so scared of death. What are you scared of? Like death. Like death is the greatest teacher because it makes you live for the day that you have. If you lived every day as if it was like your last day for you to be alive, you would live it a whole different way.
Oh, I'll share my favorite quote. Steve Jobs, Stanford commencement speech, 2013, maybe. He said, almost everything, all fear of expectation, all fear of failure, all pride, all fear of embarrassment, all these things fall away in the face of death, leaving only what's truly important. Remembering that you're going to die is the best way to escape the trap of thinking you have something to lose. You're already naked. There's no reason not to follow your heart.
So true, man. So seriously. Good. I didn't know that he said that. That's a powerful quote.
Oh, yeah. Same speech. But it's so true, though. He went nuts. Yeah. Great speech.
They have that one in The Untethered Soul, which I haven't memorized, but that was really good. I loved it.
You have that book?
It's talking about where he goes, the woman's like, I'm not ready to die. And he's like,
yeah, I'm
going to
read this really quick.
365 days.
This is the sickest quote
already
ever.
To live this year. And you're telling me you're not ready. Like, I've given you.
I can't believe you haven't read that part yet, man. Look at this. I got this open already. Okay, Condor, let me go to this really quick.
You guys are both untethered.
Dude, it's the best book ever, man. Like,
coming over today, seeing you guys housed, the way you're living. You guys are on a good one.
It changes your life, man.
Yeah.
Seriously. Okay, contemplating death. Check this out.
Oh, yeah. This is 17. You know I'm not there yet.
Yeah, this is the end.
All right. Yo. Yeah, use Big Bro and plug in the headphones.
Yeah, I know. What's a password, though?
There's no password.
So then you have to do a password. Silence the PlayStation network.
Shit, I don't know. Try all lowercase, Jonathan. Yeah. Jonathan, and then one. All right, just a little detour there from Untethered Soul. Yo, listen to this, okay? This is the quote from Untethered Soul, the chapter on death that we were talking about. Let's say you're living life without the thought of death, and the angel of death comes to you and says, come, it's time to go. You say, but no, you're supposed to give me a warning so I can decide what I want to do with my last week. I'm supposed to get one more week. Do you know what death would say to you? Do you know what the angel of death would say to you? He'll say, my God, I gave you 52 weeks this past year alone, and look at all the other weeks I've given you. Why would you need one more? What did you do with all of those? If asked that, what are you going to say? How will you answer? I wasn't paying attention. I didn't think that those days or those weeks mattered. That's a pretty amazing thing to say about your life.
I think I'm pretty good about that one when I'm like, I don't want to go to the DMV. I want to live my life. So everyone's like, Connor, you got to go to the DMV. I'm like, I don't want to go to the DMV.
It also.
What if it's the last day of my life? I don't want to spend 6 hours at the DMV. That's what I got out of that quote and a lot more.
Why not be bold enough to regularly reflect on how you would live that last week of your life? If you were to ask this question of people who are truly awakened, they wouldn't have any problem answering you. Not a thing would change inside of them. Not a thought would cross their minds. If death were to come in an hour, if death were to come in a week, or if death were to come in a year, they would live exactly the same way as they're living right now.
That's a good state to live.
That's what I'm saying
in.
About death is like, yeah, it is. It can be a scary thought if you don't.
It guides
on what you
your way to
in,
live.
But at the same time, yeah. It's a great. It can be a great thing to show you how to live right now.
Exactly. Steve Jobs also said that. He said if too many days in a row you fall asleep and you're like, that's not what I wanted to do today. If I were to die today, you need to start changing. And I think he said 2 weeks. Because sometimes you got
to. Say that again.
So he said if too many days in a row, I think 2 weeks or something. I forget what limit he put on. I think you can all kind of give that some judgment based on your dreams. If you're not doing what you'd want to be doing if it were the last day you had on Earth, then you need to start changing what you're doing. So basically, you got to get going on your dreams instead of like all the dilly-dally things we do. Like, oh, I'll do that one day, or I'll be that person.
I agree with that. I agree with that, but I also think like it doesn't necessarily need to be that you need to change your whole life and go out and do things externally. I think it might be more like you need to just change the way that you view it all. Like, yeah. Like it talks about in here, it's like if you were to be someone that was in the hospital and was told like that you have 1 week left to live, and you didn't know the weeks prior to, so you literally were just whatever, awakened as you're dead, you're awake, you're in the hospital, and you're told you have 1 week left to live. How would you live that week? Like, would you be really concerned about going out and getting a car? Or would you be concerned about going out? No, because you didn't have that past. You would be going, you would be meeting all the people that you'd be meeting. You'd be having the most intimate conversations. You'd be telling everybody you love them. You'd be so pumped for life. You wouldn't be like, fuck, I need to go get that $1 million house. Or I need to go, you know? So it's more of like the way that I view it is less of like going out and being like, I need to, this could be the last day that I'm alive. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to move to so-and-so and I'm going to swim for 6 months on the beach. It's more of like, this could be the last day I'm alive and the first day that I'm alive. So I'm going to enjoy the fuck out of it with exactly where I'm at right now.
Hell
and
yeah.
You know, and I'm going to change the way that I view everything that's going on with what I'm doing right now. You know what I mean?
That's so true.
Yeah.
That's
the way that I view it. I think it's a mixture of both for sure.
Yeah. I think it probably is a mixture of both.
It reminds me of this cool thing. It's like, you have important things and urgent things. You have them every day of your life. And so important things is what you actually want. That's the real meat of life. And then the urgent things is stuff like your phone rings. You got to go to the DMV. You got to do all this garbage. And what usually wins is the urgent. And so it's like if you look at life, it relates to this because you want to do the important things, but it's so hard. Like this podcast right now, JT might change someone's life, but their phone might ring right now. And then they're going to go, oh, I'll pick up the phone. It's some dilly-dally stupid problem. And they're going to forget about the podcast. They're going to forget when they're reading a book. The phone ringing always takes precedence. Well, you could be reading a paragraph that'll change your life, change your mood for the moment, change your way of thinking, your perspective forever, just make you happy. Every day you have those, but you always choose like the phone or this or that. And sometimes those urgent things are important too, but most of the time they're not really important when you really look at them. Yeah. I have them. We all have them.
That's a really interesting thought.
Importance versus urgency.
But yeah, you know? That's absolutely, absolutely true.
It's interesting.
And so how do you, like, I mean, I would say, yeah, the urgent things always end up taking the...
They win. Like, I think you guys are doing good. I was actually thinking about it earlier because it's like tonight, big night in Malibu, Habana, everyone's going. But that's more of an urgent thing. That's not important. You guys can find more meaning, more value in, you know, talking, having intimate conversations, staying where you are, being at peace, and then having to do this urgent thing of going out, seeing what's happening at Habana tonight. You know, it's urgent.
Dude, that's it.
So you guys are on fire.
Dude, that's an awesome way to think about it. I'm going to write that down.
For I always try and think, like, is this an important thing or an urgent thing?
Super interesting. I like that a lot.
I do like that a lot.
Yeah. Let's see how long we've been going here for. And if it's been around.
Are we on fire right now?
Yeah, we're on fire, bro. Have you had fun?
Great time.
Having a great time.
Having a great time.
60, 70. This is, we're at an hour and 25.
This is great.
Right?
Yeah, this is great.
Right? Yeah. Is this something you can see yourself doing regularly?
Bro, I'd love to do it regularly.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
This would be awesome.
You just sleep here. Just hang here.
You're going to live in this closet.
Yeah.
You're moving in. Dude, you live like 3 blocks away.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. I've already been thinking about how we could figure out the garage.
We actually have a blow-up mattress in this closet right here.
That's
bro. Classic. If you're trying to move in, man,
cruise through.
You can sleep here whenever you want. But literally, you are 4 blocks away in probably a 6 times nicer house.
Yeah, it's insane.
I can only imagine.
I mean, I'd probably take this. This is mental. This
spot's
maybe sick.
You buy this one and then you let us live here, and then
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll really push the rent down if I take the garage.
What would you push the rent down to? No, you can't have the garage, man. That's my gym. What do you mean have the garage?
Like, that'd be my room.
No
that'd
way.
Be my space.
You could have this room.
No, this is the studio.
We can move this stuff over to the side, and will you have your bed? We could build a bed in the wall. Small.
We could make that the TV, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And bed. Where did the bed go? It's a big closet.
When we first got here, I was like, yo, we should put one of those Murphy beds in the closet. Like the thing that looks like a dresser. Pull it down.
Whoa.
But she was not feeling that.
No.
She was out on that.
Well, I mean, now it's your closet. Where would you put that? Too.
Yeah.
Forget about it.
Forget about it.
You got a lot of clothes, man.
Yeah.
I'm pushed to this one. This is what happens.
Just notice your hat says Sauce.
Sauce. Yeah, it's a hockey company.
Yeah. Cool.
All right, let's wrap this up. That was unreal. You know, I don't really think we need to do anything to wrap it up, but that was just awesome. And obviously, we'll do more since that was pretty. How did you feel like that? How do you feel like that was? I know you're probably coming into it. Everybody that comes in is super nervous. But how did you feel?
I was a little nervous today, but I felt good.
This is the first one we've done in person,
though. You guys are a great pair.
We're a great team.
Yeah.
Me and JT.
Yeah, a great team.
And Sammy.
Yeah, I'm just here for moral support, honestly. I'm just here.
You helped in a couple times, though.
Yeah, but I'm just, you know, I'm just here.
I'm
not here forever.
I think it's a lot easier too when like I'm less nervous, at least when I'm not like the center of attention.
Yeah, well today if it was me, you, and another person, like obviously we would be asking them, and it's a lot less nerve wracking.
And then when I'm less nervous, sometimes I'll end up just like having a million thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A million.
I actually like more when I'm getting interviewed than when I am interviewing. I feel like
let me interview you next time.
You can interview me whenever you want, bro.
That's a great idea.
But I feel like all of the talks that we'll have with a person is more just conversation. Like I think this is more conversation. The only interview part was like that I wanted to do your bio. Yeah, like your background and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But when we dive into like the questions and stuff like that, which is why I love them so much, when you dive into the questions, it's just open.
That's my favorite part, honestly. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. Yesterday we did this, and I interviewed Sam and asked him.
He did not interview me. We had a conversation.
Yeah, but at the beginning was
I said don't interview me.
The beginning was a little bit of bio.
Yeah.
But I think you have to.
Yeah. No. Interview a little bit. It's good. But then we had a full conversation. Yeah. It was unreal.
The funnest part is literally ripping through the questions because it's literally 1,000 questions, and it just we went through two.
Hottest couple in West LA for sure.
Is this West LA?
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess.
In LA. Guaranteed.
Know. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Greatly appreciated.
Maybe we'll have to do one on like Abbott Kinney.
Ooh, I'm going to do like a
LA culture.
Like an outdoor one. Like we're just remote from the streets.
I meant the topic. Like.
Oh, I thought you meant like go straight up go into Abbott Kinney. Yeah, but what kind of stuff would we talk about Abbott Kinney?
Just what everyone's into these days. Kale, smoothies.
So into kale. I love kale.
Do you follow trends?
I try a little bit. I'm not good at it. And then all of a sudden I'm like, whoa, I know this trend now. Yeah. I see what everyone's doing, these birds and all that.
Love the birds.
I feel like I'm always late.
Yeah, me too.
I'm really late on
I'm
trends.
Like Post Malone Psycho. Everyone's like, that was last month, idiot. Travis Scott's
last month.
New album.
That was like,
I know.
I feel like
Travis
that was like
Scott.
6 months ago.
Was it?
Psycho? What?
Oh, Psycho. I thought you were talking about Travis
That's
Scott.
Old.
Yeah. That is pretty.
Travis Scott, that's pretty fresh.
That's fresh.
Like just him, Travis Scott?
Sicko mode.
No, I think his new album.
His new album's like 5 days. So you're up on trends then. There you go.
Yeah.
You knew Birds. Birds is like a couple months. That's like 6 months.
Yeah, and Bob, my boss, bought like 6 scooters just like the Birds. We ride around and people think they're Birds. They're like swiping. Like,
no.
How does it work? One guy ran
that's
off.
Hilarious.
Of one.
Hilarious.
Yeah, because we go around Cross Creek because he lives right Malibu Road.
How fast they go? What's the name of them?
16. The Segway's got one, and then the other one.
Segways are brutal, though. Those just look brutal.
This thing's like a scooter, though.
Oh, it's not a Segway. It doesn't roll like the Segway.
Uh-uh.
Okay.
Full on. Looks like a bird.
I love the birds. I'm a big birder. I also am a big limer because limes are after 9 p.m. Love limes.
Whoa, lime guy.
Right?
My
birds are
going to
get banned, though.
Chatting.
Birds are about to get banned. They just got banned in Santa Monica.
No
Actually,
way.
The verdict was yesterday.
Was
know.
It?
Yeah, but they're about to be banned. Griffin! You know, birds are banned in Santa Monica?
Pretty bad.
Dude, they're getting birds everywhere.
Yeah, but they're getting banned.
They got banned in another state.
They got banned in Seattle.
Yeah.
They're banned in Santa Monica right now, 100%. And actually, the cutoff of them.
Kids are dying.
The cutoff of the bird Santa Monica. Griff, you got to get out of the camera, bro.
I just think you guys are still rolling.
this whole point.
Okay, well, let's get off. Let's get off and we can talk.
See how my hair looks.
Wait, Conrad, say, what do you want to, where do you want people to find you, hit you up, message you if they have any thoughts on Mormonism or Russia or surfing or anything? Surf lessons in Malibu, anybody that's out here, anybody that comes through?
You guys can hit me with a text. 310-924-4220.
Whoa, really? I love that.
Wow.
Well, I don't really go on Instagram, so if people want to chat.
But you do have your Instagram. What's your Instagram name?
Conrad Jack Carr. ConradJackCarr.
I thought that was your last name. I thought your last Jack name was Jack Carr for a while.
I thought it was Jacker, which I thought was
Yeah.
Wow.
I jumped with the name of that.
Conrad Carr. Jacker. All right. And Samantha, you can find Samantha on Instagram too. Sammy Clark. And yep. Then me, JT Barnett. And we love everybody that's listening. And we'll be back for more. And thank you. Hopefully this video works. You can watch it on YouTube if it is.
Late. Peace.
Why wouldn't it work?
Hey guys, thanks for listening. I love y'all. Seriously, appreciate it so much, you guys listening to this. If you're listening to this on Anchor, you guys can send me a message. If you're listening to this on Spotify, it's on Spotify now, so check it out there. Also on iTunes, if you're listening to it on iTunes, please, please leave me a review. I appreciate it very much. And if you have any questions about anything that we talked about, any of the guests that were on, or if anything that we said sparked your interest, please feel free to send me a message on Instagram at JT Barnett, or message any of the guests. Their username or their link is going to be always posted in the bio of this episode. Again, love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you guys check it out again. Peace.